Friday. Don't be late.
Welcome to this God's Word portion of the service, worship service from Daleville Christian Church. God bless America. It's a prayer for this week of Veterans Day and this month of Thanksgiving, an American holiday. To me, the United States is a nation. America is an ideal to which we aspire. With liberty and justice for all, we are still praying for that. We have an affirmation of our faith each time we gather. Today's from Colossians in the first chapter. Be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. The reading of God's Word for today is from Mark's Gospel in the 9th chapter, verses 14 through 29, a lengthier reading than we have often had in our worship services. And this reading concerns Jesus and the disciples with him. There were three. The rest of the disciples, a father and his ailing son, whose ailments threaten his life. When they came to the other disciples, that is, Jesus with the three disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him, never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed the boy violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Jesus replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." And some versions of the Bible add, "and fasting." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We're going to talk about faith today. The word faith actually has more than one meaning, and our Bibles refer to faith in more than one way. Americans tend to focus on only one meaning, and we'll get back to that. First, I have a few questions for you. Has anyone here not sat in the waiting room for a doctor or dental appointment? Has anyone not sat in that waiting room? Have you ever sat there long after the appointed time and not been called? Did you ever sit there long enough that you double-checked at the desk that you had the date and time of the appointment correct? Like, did someone forget to move their clocks for daylight savings time? Have you seen people who came to the waiting room after you and they got called in before you and you were still waiting there? And you're saying, Pastor, you need to go to a different doctor. Have you waited so long at someone's office that you began to wonder if you still have an appointment with someone, anyone, in that office? Well, our friend Job, in the book of Job, was sitting in God's waiting room. While Job was there, Job lost all of his children. They were killed. Job lost his farm and all of the livestock. That was just chapter 1. In the next chapter, Job loses his health and is afflicted with some disease that breaks out on the skin from head to toe. Job probably began to wonder if God had wandered off somewhere or had fallen asleep or somehow had not been watching everything that was happening to Job. But Job didn't say anything. Job did, however, get depressed. If you're not sure, then I'm not sure you've read what Job said. Job is depressed. Suicide is suggested to Job to curse God, and that would result in death. But to curse God would be to reject God. To curse God would be to break off the relationship that Job had with God. Job's response to this offer is a question. Job 2:10, shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? It is a good question. And then the book of Job adds, in all this Job did not sin with his lips. Job turns down the offer to break his relationship with God. The relationship with God, whether it brings Job good things, as it had up to that point, or Job's relationship with God that brings bad things, Job remains in Job's relationship with God. Job will continue to wait in God's waiting room. So, for the next 40 chapters of the book of Job, Job's so-called friends will argue that there's something wrong with Job's relationship with God. Job claims there isn't a thing wrong with Job's relationship with God. In chapter 40, 40 chapters of the book of Job, and if you've ever read the book of Job, that's some of the longest 40 chapters of the Bible. It's almost as bad as the book of Numbers. 40 chapters later in the book of Job, the Lord God himself showed up. And he speaks directly to Job. So, after all those chapters, Job is exonerated. Job still does have a relationship with the Lord God Almighty, and the Lord God Almighty has shown up to prove it. God even asked Job to pray for Job's so-called friends because they don't say the right things about God like Job does. Americans, maybe because we're in the 21st century, even Christian Americans are scientific people. We talk about faith as a statement or a list of statements. These phrases become definitions of faith. And these phrases come to mind. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus, God's Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And we might say, that is my faith. It's a list. It's a list of statements. You could also say it this way. I trust in God the Father. I trust in Jesus, God's Son. I trust in the Holy Spirit. The Bible does translate the same word both ways. And when you use the word that way, and the Bible certainly does, you could change the word trust to the words have a relationship with. I have a relationship with God the Father. I have a relationship with Jesus, God's Son. I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So keeping that in mind, let's take a look at today's Bible reading that this encounter this man had one day with Jesus' disciples and Jesus. This report of a healing in Mark's gospel is complex, and I believe what we're to learn from this report is not as simple as some would have us believe. So let's look at some details. First of all, the father states clearly in verse 17 that he brought his son to Jesus. Notice in verse 14, Jesus was not present when the father with his ailing son arrived. Jesus and the three disciples were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. You can read about it there in chapter 9. Since the father states that he brought his son to Jesus, should tell us that the father does indeed have a measure of faith. The father should not be condemned outright for lacking faith. The father demonstrated some faith, and the father also acknowledged that his faith was not sufficient. The disciples who were not on the Mount of Transfiguration also have a measure of faith, because even without Jesus present, they went ahead and attempted to heal the son who was suffering some sort of life-threatening seizures. The disciples couldn't do it. And Jesus points out that that generation lacked faith. The father then makes clear what is lacking in his faith. The father stated, "If you can do anything, have pity on us and help us." If you can do anything, the father is asking for help of any kind at any level. The father does not ask Jesus for actual healing. The father had come to find help. The father did not come to Jesus for Jesus to actually heal his son. The father had come to Jesus not because he trusted Jesus to heal. The father believes Jesus will help him. The father has not come to Jesus because he trusts Jesus to heal. The father has come to Jesus because he believes Jesus will help. The father had come to find help. The father did not come to Jesus for Jesus to actually heal his son. Now, there's a similar report in Mark's gospel in chapter 5, which by the time you get to chapter 9, you would have read, right? In chapter 5, Jairus was faithful to believe that Jesus could heal his daughter. But once the daughter was reported as already dead, Jesus simply turned to Jairus and said, "Do not fear, only believe." Or, some versions would say, "Do not fear, have faith, and she will be well." Jairus was being asked to leap in his faith meter to see Jesus as more than healer, but also giver of life. That's quite a stretch, especially for a Jewish believer in the first century, those who saw Jesus face to face. The Father here in chapter 9 of Mark is being asked to believe that coming to Jesus as the one who can heal, that brings healing. Let me put it another way. The disciples whom the Father talked to, they had the teaching of Jesus, but they were not Jesus himself. Only being in Jesus' presence was going to heal. This is confirmed when Jesus talks with the disciples. Prayer is dependent on having a relationship with Jesus. Knowing Jesus' teachings isn't enough. Knowing Jesus is what is necessary for faith to be effective. We could even say it this way. It isn't what you know, it's who you know. Do you know Jesus, my Lord? Anyone who states, "I believe that Jesus was a great teacher," well, that's not enough. Even if you know and memorize everything Jesus said, that is not enough. Do you know Jesus himself? Do you have a relationship with Jesus himself? Knowing isn't enough. Relating to Jesus, talking with Jesus in prayer, seeking Jesus' presence. Job waited out a lot of bad things happening to him in God's waiting room. But God himself did, after 40 chapters, God showed up and spoke with Job voice to voice. Remember, God didn't do that for very many people in the Old Testament. And that's why there were questions about who Jesus was in the New Testament. God showing up in person. And how many were not sure that Jesus might be understood when the prophet said the Lord himself will suddenly come to his temple in the messenger of the covenant, Malachi 3:1. The father of the afflicted son had to wait until Jesus came back from the Mount of Transfiguration before healing could take place in the very presence of Jesus. And what did Jesus tell us? If there are two or more gathered in my name, there am I. Jesus will be present. That day, long ago, near the Mount of Transfiguration, a father, his son, and the disciples all learned a valuable lesson. It isn't what you know. It isn't even how much you know. It's who you know. Know our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a relationship with Jesus our Lord. You can even graduate from the best schools. You can graduate with honors. I did not. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus our Lord, it won't matter at all. Have and keep, abide in Jesus our Lord. Amen.